Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Transfiguration Sunday is Ups and Downs. Based on Mark, our gospel reading, finding our theme, particularly in verse 2 and verse 9, let me read that to you again. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And verse 9, and as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man was risen from the dead. Again, our theme, ups and downs. Please follow the sermon outline provided you in the bulletin as we consider this theme together. Well, let's be honest this morning. We've all had our ups and downs experiences. Up and down are two simple words. We use them giving directions. We go up a hill or down a road. We use them to express emotions. When you feel good, you're up. When you feel down, when you feel bad, you're down. Wages can go up or down. Sales can go up or down. When kids are in school, if their grades are going well, we say their grades are going up. If their grades aren't too good, we say their grades are going down. We have slang expressions which talk about good or bad experiences. To have a good experience is an upper. To have a bad experience is a downer. I'm sure each of you here today have ups and downs in your own life. Today's sermon is all about ups and downs. Because one day Jesus and some of his disciples went up a mountain. Listen to verse 2 again. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them high up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Going up a mountain is very common in biblical stories. Up is God's domain. So Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And the people of Israel went up a mountain to build places of worship like Bethel and Shiloh and Jerusalem. And the prophet Elijah, that Scripture tells us, went up Mount Carmel to have a contest with the prophets of Baal. And Jesus often finds himself going up a mountain to pray. Up a mountain to give the Sermon on the Mount. Today, up a mountain for the Mount of Transfiguration. And finally, up that mount called Calvary to die for your sins and for mine. In today's text, Jesus went up a mountain, but this time he brought others with him. Listen again. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. Jesus was preparing his disciples for the end of his earthly life and the end of his earthly ministry that would climax at a cross. So he took them on this high mountain to explain to them what was about to happen. But something wonderful happened to Jesus on that mountain that was about to verify all that he had told them about his life, all that he had told them about his mission, all that he had told them about his ministry. And God was going to bring the verification. This event is called the Transfiguration. And one of the three disciples who went up on that mountain that day, Peter, later wrote these words about this event. I read from you 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty and glory. For on that mountain, when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance like this was made to him. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with them on that holy mountain. And on that day, some surprises also came down upon that mountain. Verse 4. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Sent by the Heavenly Father, in their heavenly radiance, because as saints of God, they have already gone to glory, appeared Moses and Elijah. Why these two figures? Why not others? In the Old Testament, Moses represents God's holy laws and his commandments as he received those laws on Mount Sinai. Elijah represents all of God's prophets, all of the prophets of God, Hosea and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the rest. Elijah represents the prophets. And so the heavenly presence of Moses and Elijah with Jesus on this Mount of Transfiguration was God's way of saying, this Jesus and no one else, this Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's laws and all of God's prophets as he stands here before you. And Jesus' soon coming death and his resurrection from the cross was a part of God's fulfillment of that plan. This was for Peter, James, and John. We can also imagine for Jesus, who knew the appointment with the cross that awaited him. This was the Heavenly Father's kind way of strengthening Jesus, of assuring him as the voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son," of assuring him as Moses and Elijah stood by his side that as Jesus was about to be crucified for the sins of the world, it was a part of God's plan and Jesus would not be alone. And even as Jesus was in pain, paying for your sins and for mine, he could recall, "But my Father's voice told me on that mountain, I am his beloved Son. And Moses and Elijah came to stand next to me to strengthen me for this appointment I had to pay for the sins of the world." And as if that weren't enough, another surprise came down upon Jesus on the mountain that day. Listen to the text again. And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. When Jesus was transfigured in heavenly glory, this was the Heavenly Father's confirmation of who Jesus was and why he came. Jesus is nobody less than Almighty God who has come in human flesh to be with sinners, to help us see God's true glory. His dazzling white appearance reminds us of another event. When someone went up on a mountain to meet with the Father in heaven, and he shone like the sun as well. We're talking about Moses. Listen to Exodus 34. And it came about, as Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of God's law, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone like the sun, and the people were afraid to come near him. But even better than this is John the Apostle's vision, a vision of heaven recorded in Revelation 1. Listen to that. John writes, "And there was one I saw like a son of man, clothed in a blazing white robe, reaching to the feet. His hair was white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it's been caused to glow in a furnace." John has a vision of the resurrected Jesus shining like the sun. And this is how Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, how would you have liked to experience that? You were just going to go on a hike with Jesus. Jesus says, "Let's go have a picnic. Let's go up to the mountain and we'll be together. We'll have a good time. I want to tell you what's going to be facing me in the days that come ahead." But in God, the Heavenly Father's kindness to Jesus to strengthen him, for the task. And to strengthen the faith of Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah appeared, Jesus was transfigured before them, all these wonderful things happened, and like Don asked the children, would you want to leave the mountain? No, said Kyle, let's stay there and play. I never want to go down. And that is what the disciples said to Jesus. Peter, as a spokesman for the disciples, said this in verse 5. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter wanted to set up three tents and never leave that mountaintop. Peter said, this is neat. This is cool. We're near heaven. We never want to go down. Jesus, I'll tell you what. We'll put up three tents, one for you, Moses and Elijah. We're so happy to be here. We'll sleep on the ground. Let's build a fire. Let's roast some hot dogs. Oh, Jesus, they have to be kosher hot dogs. We understand. But let's never leave this mountaintop. The glory of God has come. Let's never go down. But Peter. I want to say Peter, pumpkin eater, but that's Peter Schellenberg in the front here. Jesus says to Peter, oh, Peter, we have to go down the mountain. And I have to take you with me, my beloved disciples, because you see, I have an appointment. I have a divine appointment I must keep, and nothing, even the glories of heaven, can't keep me from that appointment with the cross. Because I'm going to that cross for you and for all whom I love. You see, Jesus went down that we might go up. Jesus came down from heaven to our earth. He left the glories of heaven and came down to this sin-filled earth to walk in the midst of our sin and our rebellion. He came down from the glories of heaven that he might be lifted up on a cross for your sins and for mine. And on that glorious transfiguration day, Jesus came down from the mount to go down to the valley so that his promise about the cross may be fulfilled. And here's his promise about the cross. Jesus said, so that when I am lifted up, that is on the cross, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus went down to the grave, dying for your sins. Thank you, Jesus, dying for mine, substituting his death for your death. Jesus descended to hell to proclaim to the devil, to thumb his nose at the devil, as it were, and say, I have won this victory. And I have won this victory for my children whom I love. And Jesus went back up to heaven to declare his glory, his majesty, his triumph over sin, his triumph over death, his triumph over the devil. Jesus came down and he went up and he did it for you. Jesus went down that mountain so that he could be lifted up on that cross, so that when you die, you may go up as well and be with him forever in heaven. Oh, happy day. As we get older, every year we get older, as I'm visiting our shut-ins, some of our elderly members who are struggling. And if you think this is a commercial, it certainly is. If you miss some of our shut-ins you don't see, don't just think about them. Don't just pray for them. I urge you, by the mercies of Christ, go visit our shut-ins. You'll be blessed. As I go there as a pastor, dressed in my pastor suit, I go there to minister and to lift them up. Guess whose spirit is strengthened? Guess whose soul is lifted up? As I hear these dear saints of God say, you know what? Sometimes life is just doggone tough and I'm lonely and my body hurts. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And in that day when it is time, he will take me up and I will be with him forever. If you want your faith strengthened, spend some time with some of our shut-ins and let your faith be strengthened. As they say that one day my Jesus will take me and all who put their faith in him to go high up on that mountain of glory we call heaven. One day, there with Peter and all of God's people, we'll set up our tents. We'll have a never-ending campout. At this point, I have to kid my dear bride, Beverly. I love camping. I can't get Beverly to go camping with me. But on that heavenly day, when we set up tents, I promise you, Beverly, and any of the rest of you women who are concerned, the bathrooms will be close by and sparkling clean. As we are in tents with our Lord forever with Peter in heaven. Until that day, we hear John's words in Revelation 21, his vision of heaven, and he talks about tents. Listen to John in Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tent of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, there will be no more pain, for the old things have passed away." Glory, hallelujah. Until that day, the promise of Scripture is this: your Lord Jesus is the Lord of all your ups and your downs. And Jesus will never let you down. In the holy name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.